Well, good morning, everyone. Well, that's a great start. Awesome. Good. Yeah, this isn't going to go well unless we have a little response back and forth. So thank you so much for that. Candace, thank you for finding a song that I had no idea was out there. Was that a new song for you? Yeah, was that a new song for the whole team and for us? Yeah. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. It was great to have Rod up here. Rod and Aisha and my wife Kelly and I served together at Departure Bay Church back a long time ago, more than two decades ago now, which is insane. We just loved being a part of their family and having them a part of our family. Just chatting with Dustin a little bit. He knows both of my older sons and our older two daughters-in-law as well, at least just a little bit, some of them, and then a lot more others of them. And then Bryce and our youngest son were best friends in high school, and they played on the basketball team together, and I was privileged to be one of the assistant coaches on the team as well, too. So lots of connections with your church for myself and my kids. And my wife as well, too. Kelly grew up at Departure Bay Baptist Church in Nanaimo. So back in the day, they prayed a lot, actually, for Ladysmith Church. So we've got, you know, those connections as well. And I see in a couple weekends, you've got Mark Naylor here, Mark and Karen Naylor. If you've got a chance to be in a room with Mark, I mean, my goodness, he's up here academically, but he's also accessible to all of us as well. So I want to encourage you to be at whatever Mark's doing that weekend. And then, of course, Jordan and Marilyn Rendell, you don't want to miss anything that they're a part of. How many of the men know Jordan from Men's Retreat? Anybody? Oh, my goodness. Nobody? Oh, a couple people. Right on. Yeah, so Jordan's often the speaker at Camp Quattles at Men's Retreat, but he could be anywhere in the world, as most of you know, but he'll come to Camp Quattles even as a camper or as a man at the Men's Retreat, even when he's not speaking. So good to see that you're having a missions conference coming up in a couple of weekends. Thank you so much for reading the scriptures for us and for following along. I hope you have a page in front of you. If you don't, I think there's probably extras at the back or somewhere in the lobby, and you could get one of those after the service. How many of you have been following, how many of you followed the slingshot around the moon that just happened recently? A few of you? How many of you don't believe that it actually happened? Okay, we got one person back here. Okay, there's got to be one. So yeah, I've been following that. My wife, when I preach a message, she always says to me, and I learned this in Bible college as well, you ought to take off really slowly, you kind of have a smooth, and then come down slowly. My wife always often tells me, Tim, you landed the plane, and then you took off again. You landed, and you took off again. Well, we're going to just rocket right up this morning. We're going to go to 0 to 1,000. So I want to encourage you to hang on. How many of you remember the story of the 10 leprous people, the account in Jesus' life? Some of you remember that? They cried out to the Lord. They cried out to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He healed them. How many of them do you think were thankful? All of them were thankful. How many of them came back to give thanks? One. Do you think that story is in the Bible for a good reason? Do you think those people were anything other than like us? If only one came back to give thanks and to worship, how many told their story of how they'd been redeemed by the Lord? Can you imagine being a leprous person at that time? You're healed by Jesus. You go about your business. Your friends and your family, they know what's happened. But you meet a new person. Are you going to tell that person, I had leprosy and Jesus healed me? Or are you going to just keep that to yourself? Sometimes things happen in our lives and the people around us know about that. And maybe they've heard us give thanks to the Lord, or maybe they haven't. But when we meet somebody new or we build a new relationship, we might be kind of reluctant to talk about that. And I want to encourage us this morning from Psalm 107 that the psalmist makes it clear in this song that we are to give thanks to the Lord and to share with others how he has redeemed us. So I want to give an opportunity, probably at the end of my message here, for one or two of you to just pop up right where you are. I'm looking at you young people down here in the front, and I'm looking somebody back here who's been around a few more decades than they have. Just to stand up and you say, you know what, I was in a difficult place in my life, and then I cried out to the Lord, and he heard my prayer, and he redeemed me. And that's all you have to say. We don't want to hear the long story. We do want to hear the long story, but we don't want to hear that this morning in this space. I would love for you to tell it to somebody else after this service time. But just to pop up and say, maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you're the kind of person that usually stands up here. We're not asking you to say something. Maybe you're the type of person who speaks up in your small group quite often. You're also not that person this morning. But somebody who's maybe never said, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard my prayer, and he redeemed me. I want to encourage you to shoot up like a rocket and share just briefly this morning. So one or two of you may need to break the sound barrier today. Maybe you've never shared something publicly. Today's the day to break that sound barrier. The first story that the psalmist tells, after in the intro, in the intro, he's saying, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. I think he's assuming that some of them, maybe many of them, aren't going to tell their story. And so he says it over and over throughout this psalm. Let the redeemed tell their story. Well, what story? Well, I'm glad you asked. There's like four stories in this passage that cover, I would say, many of our stories. Four stories that cover many of our stories. In verse 4, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no place, no city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty. In an older version, it says their souls fainted away within them. Another says their very selves were on the brink of death. Their lives ebbed away. Have you ever been in a place like that? Maybe not physically, but emotionally or relationally or maybe mentally. I couldn't help of physical people like refugees. I think of the political refugees all the way back to Exodus, you know, the people of Israel wandering for decades. But then those as well today. I think I can safely say that the majority of us are in Canada because our parents or our grandparents were refugees or immigrants. Political refugees, famine refugees, religious refugees. Many, many people came to this country because something wasn't going well. And some of them cried out to the Lord, and he delivered them from their distress. I think of, as a child, I was a part of Abbotsford Baptist Church in Abbotsford. And Dustin and I both grew up in Abbotsford, actually, which is kind of crazy. And at that time, people from Vietnam and Cambodia and places like that were refugees to Canada. Our church sponsored a few immigrants from Vietnam, and I still remember that just being a young boy. Today, it would be people from Syria, Iran, Afghanistan, and other places, many other places, coming to our country, finding a straight way compared to the brink of death. And many people have to cross inhospitable land after inhospitable land to get to Canada. Literally fleeing through countries that don't want them, that want to send them back. Just talked to an Iranian woman recently who came to Canada. One of her sons tried to come. He had his legs broken in Turkey and was terribly abused in other ways and then sent back to Iran. And she may never see her son, her other son and her husband again. I think of my own grandparents. My grandpa Eckert is 100 years old in September. My family and I are going out to share in his celebration. He's just still plugging away at 100. He was probably close to 90, and he was still chucking bales faster than I could in southern Alberta. But his family came from Ukraine and from Russia. I found out recently that his parents, my great-grandparents, met in Zaporozhye. Some of you know where that is, in Ukraine. They got married there, and then through whatever circumstances, ended up in Orenburg in Russia, and then Stalin came along, and they ended up in, I don't know how, probably some horrible trip with lots of tragedy in southern Alberta. That's the story on my mom's side. Their businesses and their land were confiscated in Russia, and they came here with nothing. And I'm sure that they were crying out to the Lord. And by God's grace, they have flourished, and I give thanks publicly to the Lord for how he redeemed my mom's family. On my dad's side, my grandpa Clausen, that's a different story of redemption. Paul Clausen was the first generation of Canadians. So on both sides, I'm only a third generation Canadian. Doesn't look like that, maybe, but my family has only been here for three generations. My dad's family were sharecroppers or tenant farmers. They didn't own their own land. They were serving on other people's land. They were dirt poor, literally. Seven children. Six of them made it to adulthood and lived long lives. One of them died as a small boy. They're gathered around this potbelly stove in southern Saskatchewan, minus 40. My dad was born on February the 4th at home. Can you imagine how cold it would have been? His dad delivered him, actually, and they put him in a shoebox beside the stove in order to keep him warm. No running water, no electricity. For both my parents, actually, until they were teenagers, no running water, no electricity, right here in Canada. And they're not even that old. If they had lived in Ontario or Quebec or parts of Quebec or other places, even parts of Ontario, they would have had running water. They would have had electricity. But they didn't have those things where they were. Beautiful story of how my parents met, actually. In order to seek financial opportunities, my dad's older siblings traveled west from southern Alberta. And they were told at that time, find the Mennonites. They'll take you in. And so from southern Alberta, they came to Brooks, Alberta. They went to the Mennonite church. And my great-grandparents, they met my oldest uncle, Uncle Howard, and they took him in right away. And then later, he worked on my grandfather's farm where my mom grew up. And so my mom knew my dad's older brothers long before they knew my dad. Much of the family ended up coming to Alberta. But my dad stayed in Saskatchewan because he was still in high school. And he stayed with extended family there and only came out later. Well, when he did come, back in the day they had what was called, I think, young peoples. Then it became college and careers, and now it's, what, young adults? Are you guys young adults now? Something like that. What's that? Youth. Okay, youth. Yeah, that's right. And so the sparks must have flew between my mom and my dad, because I think my mom was 19 when they got married. So, you know, it would have been pretty quickly after my dad came to Alberta. So I want to remind you, maybe some of you, of your own history. If it wasn't for the political and religious persecution in Russia for my mom's family, and then the famine in Saskatchewan, because one of the reasons they moved to Alberta is they would have great crops, and then the locusts would come. Or, you know, it would be all of a sudden a drought. Or there would be a hailstorm. And literally year after year after year, their crops were wiped out. And their credit at the cornerstone was also wiped out. And yet they were able to meet in southern Alberta. And I have so much to rejoice and give thanks for, even through the suffering and hardship of my ancestors, who I know cried out to the Lord. And the Lord heard them in his own time. I'm sure they would have liked it much sooner. And to be thankful, and I am thankful. And you probably have a story like that as well. Maybe your Canada, your country, your family has been in Canada for a very long time. If you aren't Caucasian, it's very likely that at some point your family's land was taken away by people that hated your people. And you were taken advantage of, your family. Maybe that's been your experience in Canada or right here on Vancouver Island. Did your family cry out to the Lord? Did the Lord hear their cries? Well, I know. I am very confident that if they did cry out to the Lord, that he did hear them. And I want to encourage you to think about, has the Lord redeemed your family? And have you given thanks to him? And have you declared that publicly to the body of Christ, and maybe to even those who don't yet know Jesus? Verse 7, for those that have been refugees, for those that have been lost, he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Well, let's read on. We're not going to unpack these other choruses, these other verses, as much as we did that first one. But let's just look at these together. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So in verse 1, we see refugees. In verse 2 here, we see prisoners. Prisoners because they rebelled against God. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. So this could be people in actual prison, physical prisons, but it could be a mental prison, an emotional prison. I know I've been there at times in the past. Maybe you've been there, crying out to the Lord. In this particular case, it's because of those who rebelled against God. And maybe that's you. Maybe you've rebelled against God. And you might be thinking, I haven't rebelled against God. Was there a time in your life where you ignored God? That in itself is rebellion against God. Complacency, apathy. The God who created us, the God who formed us, the God who made us, the God who delivered us deserves our worship and our thanks and our praise. When we're in utter darkness, when we're suffering in chains, we can cry out to the Lord and he will deliver us. Often we can be in spiritual chains. We can be tied up by the evil one. Sometimes through things that have happened to us in the past or maybe even our ancestors, the evil one gets a hold in our lives. Often there's a trauma that happens to us when we're really young. And the evil one can get in there and mess things up for us. Sometimes it's through something that's been done to us. Sometimes it's something that happened naturally. Other times it's through something that we've done. And we can end up being in chains. And we need to cry out to the Lord who will deliver us. And to give thanks and to share, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Next verse, verse 17. Some became fools through their rebellious ways. How many knows what we don't like to call people a fool today, and we shouldn't, I don't think, because Jesus says let's just say he says don't do that. Not a great idea. But a fool, you know what a fool is? A fool is somebody who knows the difference between right and wrong and chooses wrong anyways. That's what the whole book of Proverbs is about when it talks to us about the foolish and about the wise. When you know what the right thing is to do and you do it, that's wisdom. When you know what it is and you don't do it, that's foolish. The Bible calls that foolish. So it's not stupid or ignorance or anything like that. It's you know, but you're not doing it. And the Bible says, calls us fools when we do that. So I'm not saying that. That's what God's word says. Some became fools because of their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. I have people who are really close to me, like really close, who because of the things that they've done in their life are now choosing not to believe in God because they don't want to recognize that they've been foolish, that they've done wicked things, that they've done things that they know that are wrong. And in order to be able to justify that or rationalize that, they have to go, well, I guess I got to push God out of my life. Rather than just confessing that and going, you know what, that was wrong. First of all, to God. God, I actually know that you're there. I actually know that you created me. I actually know that you sent your son to die for these things. But I'm choosing not to believe right now. Or I'm choosing to keep you at arm's length because I don't want to confess. We need to get to that place. Look at verse 18. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Have you been at that place? I know that often people that have cancer get to that place. They just don't want anything. I don't want to eat. And often relatives and others are saying, eat, please eat. But we can be at that place when we've got cancerous things emotionally, mentally, spiritually as well, where we loathe all spiritual food and we come near the gates of death. And in fact, it can actually affect us internally, in our insides, and make food really difficult for us. Because what has been going on spiritually in our lives. And it's important for us to cry out to the Lord in our trouble because He will save us from our distress. He sent out His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. Some of you that are Bible scholars, you're going to want to look up verse 22. I didn't take the time to do that this week or over the last month or so. But this is the only place where it says, let them give a sacrifice. Let them give sacrifice thank offerings. What does that mean? Why is that included here in the verse about fools and their rebellious ways? I'm not sure. Some of you are going to want to look that up. The next verse. And by the way, I had a really crazy dream last night. And I couldn't figure out why when I woke up. And then as I was getting ready, the Lord was, oh, yes, because of some went out and sea in ships. Like we were in bad shape on a sea in ships last night in my dream. Part of it, too, was those clouds yesterday. Did you guys have those massive cumulonimbus clouds that were trying to be thunderstorms but didn't quite make it? That was in my dream. And then my wife and I watched a new movie with Sally Field. Have some of you seen it? What's that? Yeah, Remarkable People or something. There's an octopus and a older lady, Sally Field, I think classifies it older now, and a young guy, kind of a drifter. It's a beautiful story. But because of part of that story, I think, and everything else that happened yesterday and this morning, I had this crazy dream about sea and ships. Sorry, that was a commercial. Not for the movie, just for you. Some went out to the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up the tempest that lifted the waves high. Have you ever been on the water when that's happening? Like all you can see is the sky? I know my wife was on the BC ferries one time, and it was literally that. She was coming over to see me while we were dating, and she was putting up with that. All you can see is the heavens. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths, and in their peril, their courage melted away. I'm just thinking of the fishermen on the boat with Jesus. I mean, these guys have been on the lake before. And the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, was known for its, is still known for its storms that can just come out of nowhere. And those guys thought they were going to die. Jesus, don't you care that we're going to die? I'm sure for some of us that aren't normally out on a huge body of water and a little storm comes up, we're going to be like, ah, I'm going to die, especially if you get seasick, right? You're like, I'd rather be dead. We were on a sailboat. My father-in-law usually had a sailboat or a plane, and sometimes he had both. Crazy. Madman McKay, a bit crazy. And we were starting to, what is it called, heal a little bit. Just a little bit. Like it was like most of us were having fun. And one lady on the boat was getting ready to jump off. Like she was that scared about what was happening. We're like, what are you doing? Stay on the boat. We're going to be totally fine. But she was already staggering like a drunken man because she thought we were going up and down and going over. But we were just fine. We can feel like that, I think, at times. Lost at sea. Reeling, staggering, at our wits' end. At this time in the ancient world, the sea was the most powerful image of uncontrolled chaos. Maybe you've been at a place in your life where you were just like, what is happening? Why is my life so chaotic? Why is the world so chaotic? Why is my friend going through such incredible and difficult things? We can think back all the way to Genesis chapter 1. I think it's verse 2. It says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters of the deep. What does that mean? That's that chaos. That was common language at that time for like kind of the nothingness or the void or calamity or tragedy. Maybe you're going through a time right now where your life's kind of like this, and then it's like this. One moment you're looking up to the heavens, and next hell is gaping in front of you. God's word says that then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. Now, this all happens in like, 12 words or something, but that's probably not how it happened, right? There was a length of time. Sometimes God intervenes in our lives. We cry out to him and it's like, boom, blue skies. First of all, that beautiful rainbow and then blue skies. At other times, it's like dark, dark, dark. I was in one of those times a couple of decades ago, and I was sharing at a men's breakfast at our church, and an older fellow there, he was older, said to me afterwards, he came up to me and he said, Tim, you're in a dark night of the soul and you're going to get through this. And I just bawled like a baby. And he had been through one of those. And I was crying because I had hope that I was going to come through on the other side. Believe me, I had been crying out to the Lord in my trouble. And there came a place where he did deliver me from my distress. And the storm was calmed to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. And I and others around me were super glad that it grew calm. And he guided us to our desired haven. Friends, it's so important that we give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Look at verse 32. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people. We talked about that earlier, didn't we? I can't remember, was it Carmen or... Yeah, Carmen was talking about that. Yeah. Let's exalt the Lord. Thank you for your prayer, by the way. One of the old preachers, old Puritan preachers, actually, you know, it was Spurgeon, said that the long prayer, you ought to spend more time on the long prayer than on the sermon, like thinking about it and praying about it. So thank you. Congregational prayer. Let them exalt him in the assembly and praise him in the council of the elders. So we've looked at, I think, three or four different types of people, people that have been going through different things, refugees, prisoners, those at sea. Where are you right now? Maybe you're in one of those places. Maybe you've come through that. You know, there's blue sky and, you know, you're at that place where you're able to give thanks to the Lord and call out to him. But you might be in that place right now where you feel like a spiritual refugee, a political refugee, an emotional refugee. Maybe you feel like a prisoner. Maybe it's because you know you've rebelled against God. Or maybe it's not. Maybe you know, or your heart's desire has been to follow the Lord and you're doing your best to keep his commands and to love him. And you still feel like that. And then there's the fools who know what is right and they're still doing wrong. You know God's word and how he wants you to treat others, how he desires to for you to know him more and to respond to his love. And then lost at sea. We've got all kinds of metaphors for that, right? I feel adrift. He's lost his moorings. She's lost her bearings. All those maritime metaphors for being lost. And you've been there, some of you. And you cried out to the Lord, and he rescued you. And then the psalm turns this corner. I've been wrestling through that. I'm like, what's happening here? We got intro, verse, chorus, and then what's happening? I asked ChatGPT and it was useless. But maybe it's not all useless. Maybe it's an extended coda, if those of you that know about music, I don't. Or maybe it's an extended outro. I asked it what songs are, you know, in pop culture that would follow this pattern, and the best it could come up with was I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For by U2. This psalmist found what he was looking for. But actually, it was the structure. But actually, the structure isn't the same either. It came up with some other more popular songs. I didn't know any of them. Most of you probably don't know them either. But it's not unique, I'm sure, but it is an interesting formula for a song. So it turns the corner. Verse 33, He's not talking about, different people. Some did this, some did that. They cried out to the Lord. He delivered them. But now he's talking more generally. And he's talking about the ups and the downs, actually, and we'll see that. He turned the rivers into a desert. That sounds like a downer. The flowing springs into thirsty ground, fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. Friends, this happens to every people that turns away from the Lord. Every people. Doesn't matter if it's the Israelites, the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, my own people, the Mennonites. Doesn't matter. When we turn away from the Lord, this is where we get to. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. Sometimes in that order. It says, at first, we're in those tumultuous times and they're dangerous places, and then we cry out to the Lord, and in verse 33, he turns the desert into pools of water. It's getting reversed, right? Parts ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. It's just the ark that he's talking about, right? In all the verses that have come before. They sold fields, planted vineyards. They ate the fruit, didn't get destroyed by hail, drought, whatever else destroys crops. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Kind of sounds like the land flowing with milk and honey, right? You got milk, that means you got cattle. You got crops, that means you got bees, that means you got honey. Land flowing with milk and honey. But like our ancestors of old, we so easily forget God. Verse 39, then their numbers decreased and they were humbled by oppression. My ancestors on my mom's side, calamity. My ancestors on my dad's side, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. It's not talked about very often, but some of the people that came from Germany to the Ukraine to Russia were sent there by Catherine the Great because they were good farmers. And they could teach the locals how to do better on the land. But they ended up oppressing the local people on the land, disobeying God, doing wicked things. It's not a surprise that God had those people removed from that land, losing all of their money, all of their possessions, and having to start over. They needed to cry out to the Lord in repentance and confession, and he heard them in their distress. We don't talk about that very often. Verse 41 lifts them up again. Their families increased, that their flocks increase. You know, they have children, they have grandchildren, they have great grandchildren. My grandfather now has great great grandchildren, many of them. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. So how about you? Will you cry out to the Lord today? Let me just ask this. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand, all right? You don't have to. I'm not going to call on you to say something. Who here has been redeemed from great trouble by the Lord, you or your family? All right. Wow, thank you for your boldness to raise your hand. Baptist churches, that takes a lot of boldness. In Uganda, I think probably not so much. Maybe you're willing to just pop up for 30 seconds and say, you know what, I was in a dark place. I cried out to the Lord. He redeemed me. He redeemed my family. And I want to just share that publicly. Would you do that? Would you just pop up, one or two of you?
Now, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
I am
Amen.
I am going to heaven.
Amen.
Period.
Praise God.
God is great.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's praise God together. Yeah, amen. Yeah, thank you. Someone who's like, your heart's pounding out of your chest, you've never done this before, you know, 15 seconds, that's all you need. You can just stand up and say, yep, that's all you need to say. Amen, 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 yeah. Somebody else.
I'll just say Amy is here every day because of God's grace.
Amen. Amen, praise God, amen. Yeah, how are you? That's wonderful. I know I said one or two, but let's keep going. One more.
Last summer I had the privilege to go to Lithuania, and I was able to go to my mom's home
Wow. Wow.
The rest died, but because my grandfather had some German background, my mom's family got to go to Poland and then to Germany.
Wow.
And so I look at my mom's old Bible, and there are 7 generations of believers.
Wow. Amen. Wow. Amen. Yeah. Wow. So many parallels to my family story, too. Please. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Wow. That's so good. All right. We could go on all day, but I'm going to stop it there because I'm going to, when we're done, like singing and the prayer and all that stuff, I want you to go to somebody and ask them, what's your cry out to the Lord story? Or just share yours. And I'm talking 30 seconds. Like, don't take all day. Try to find somebody that you didn't come with today. But maybe you know them a little bit. Introduce yourself because they probably forgot your name already. Just say, hey, I'm, you know, whatever, and share a little bit. Will you do that this morning? Because where are we going to do it if we don't do it here, right? We're family. Let's share with one another. Would you pray with me? The psalmist ends like this: let the one who is wise listen to these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord and consider the steadfast love of the Lord our God. Amen.